Hey everybody, it's Damara West, founder of Be Well Beautiful Woman, where we help women to lead and live liberated lives that are rooted in wellness while also helping them on their business journey. You have joined us for the Women's Liberation Summit, and I have the amazing, amazing Courtney Hicks. Yes. You're going to hear about this queen in just a little bit. But if you don't already know about the work of Be Well Beautiful Woman, make sure that you go to BeWellBeautifulWoman.com, follow us at the letter Be Well Beautiful, and I'm going to give you exactly what you're here to get, and you are definitely in for a treat. So let me tell you a little bit about Courtney. I love that you're representing this top for Black History Month.
Oh, yes. She was like 1955. She was like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to sit right here.
Yeah. I love that, because that so like represents, I feel like, the essence of some of the things that we're going to be talking about today, right?
Yep.
Like
indeed,
keeping
indeed.
Your feet planted.
So, that's right.
So let me tell you a little bit about Courtney. She was born and raised in Detroit. Big ups to Detroit. She knew early on in life that her love of radio and TV would lead to a career in media, and it was nothing short of focus, determination that helped push her dreams into reality. Mm. In 1994, while attending Michigan State University, Courtney became known, and loved as Lansing's homegirl, and was well sought after and celebrated in the Lansing and MSU community and even beyond. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in 2005, 10 years after, she trailblazed her way through radio, giving all that time to her career, and she was promoted to the coveted WPWX morning show host position in 2005, making her the first female jock in Chicago radio history to headline a morning show. Mm-hmm. Fast forward that 5 years after 2010, she became the syndicated midday host at Radio One Incorporated for WMMJ in DC and WDMK in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Her career has since expanded to include TV appearances, live vocal performances, along with commercial print modeling and acting. She made a guest appearance in the off-Broadway production of The Color Purple, The Vagina Monologues, The Dr. Oz Show, and a principal role in the Discovery Channel series, Who the Bleep Did I Marry? Courtney was a regular pop culture contributor for TV One, Fox 5, DC 50 and WUSA 9 while she was in DC. She was also a recipient of the CBS Mirror Mirror Award, a FLOTUS Press Corps member for Michelle Obama's The Let's Move campaign, and she served as the spokesperson for the YWCA National Capital Area.
I forgot some of that.
I know, right? We are almost done with this phenomenal bio. This is the last thing I want to say about this queen before we get into this interview.
Okay.
Currently, this queen can still be heard on the radio at KISS 103.1 in Central Texas, and she can be seen as the new evening news anchor on WFXG Fox 54 in Augusta, Georgia. Courtney is in the building. What's
girl,
up,
Lady? Lady D, what is happening? It's so good to see you again.
Oh my gosh. It is like, I feel synchronicitous, right? For our past across this way. You know, I remember, you know, us being in the studio at Motor City Woman when we first met. And that was when you were like in the trenches, right, of making this full transition. And you did it, right? And you've done it so beautifully. And so I would love to just like start there. You know, you've had such a purpose, beauty-filled life in the media. You know, how did you know that media was right for you?
Because it didn't feel like work. It didn't feel like work. I mean, literally, you know, I can remember going back being a little girl and just being a chatty Cathy, if you will. I wasn't a bad kid, maybe a little mischievous, but maybe more so pretty just curious, you know. I remember my daddy saying, hey, let's play the be quiet game. I give you a dollar if you can be quiet. And I'm like, well, daddy, but if I'm quiet, how am I going to talk to you? How am I going to, you know, how am I going to ask what I, you know, how am I going to know what I need to know? So, very early on, it was clear I was going to be doing something that allowed for me to communicate, you know, how that, you know, transpired. You know, I think that was just me kind of allowing myself to be led You know, because that whole radio thing, that career kind of kicked off. This is, you know, prior to the technology age. So we're talking pre anything digital. So you hit the ground running. You work your networks and shake hands and kiss babies and hit the pavement. And that's how you mailed out resumes and cassette tapes. And that's how you got career started in my field back in the day. But it just didn't feel like work. And I was like, I can do this. Let me just see how much I can rock out.
I love that you said that, you know, it didn't feel like work, right? And that's the whole idea of purpose is very much connected to passion. And, you know, many people don't realize that passion is that second highest vibrational emotion that we can experience. And so, you know, it's not some hokey thing in trying to find your passion, because as you said, when you find it, it really doesn't feel like work for you to get up and do it day in and day out. Not that you haven't grinded a lot in your life, because I'm sure that you have.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Absolutely. Well, you know, it's all about the way I've kind of learned or have kind of just mastered this thinking for me is, it all starts with a purpose. So if there's a purpose, then that can lead on into your mission. Because for me, the purpose is going to be more spirit filled, something that's a lot more grounding, something that defines you, something that incorporates your talents and your gifts. And then with that, once you've sort of kind of filtered through that and kind of have taken that and give it some direction and purpose again, then you can move into more of the physicality, if you will, of your purpose, which is to me the mission is the doing. So you have to start with the purpose, right? That will give you the being and how you're going to exist and show up in this thing. And then that kind of moves you into the purpose, which is the doing. Yeah. So I think that's just been my filter, even when I didn't know it was my filter, because I didn't have the language or the sophistication or the spiritual maturity to understand. But, you know, hindsight, especially now that I'm actually about to be 51 next week, hindsight is supposed to be, you know, 2020. And that's what it was. Back then, I just didn't know how to clearly define it, but that's what it's been. Yeah. A purpose that led into this mission. And because I worked through, you know, going back to this idea of it doesn't feel like work, it's because I was able to connect with something to whereas my talents and my gifts could be the catalyst, if you will, that allowed me to, you know, be the messenger. And that came naturally because it was a part of how I was gifted and or anointed and or given those gifts like everybody else. And so it all kind of works in this very unique symphonic way, if you will, of coming together working, not only you working it, but it working for you. Now, that's not to say that you ain't going to run into the BS and the challenges and downs, but I think again, if it's all anchored in purpose, whether you catch the understanding in the midst of it or maybe after, it makes it all good. Kind of like that beauty for ashes kind of a thing.
You know? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That was such a beautiful way that you describe purpose, right? Connecting it to the state of being. And then like the action is your mission statement. I don't think I've ever heard it described that way. And I feel like it was such a gift for the audience to be able to hear it that way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you also talked about challenges, right? And I'm sure that there's been challenges that you have encountered as a woman, as a Black woman, being one of the first in your field in a multitude of ways. And so I'm curious about, you know, what have been some of the things that you feel like you've worked through and liberated from, and maybe some things that you're still, you know, that are still on your radar that you're working to cultivate in your life.
Yeah. I think first and foremost is this whole idea of maybe not looking part, I remember as a teenager and a young adult, I was much heavier. I'm talking, you know, weight and things of that nature. And I think that just really spoke to, I was always confident, but I wasn't sure. I guess that's the same thing. If I'd be okay to show up the way that I wanted to show up. So I was confident in the fact that, because this whole radio thing happened really, you know, not only because, you know, I kept in touch with the College of Communications and checked in with my dean, and she had a little activity board and I saw the internship for the radio station. Yeah. But what it was really, the motivation behind it was I loved music and I wanted to be a singer. So I was like, well, Daddy, you know, I'm going to graduate from high school and I'm going to go to New York and I'm going to be a singer. He's going to be like, he was like, yeah, Michigan State University, East Lansing, New York. I was like, okay. But I wanted to be a singer. But back then we didn't have some of the examples and the attitude about full figured women and curvy women that we do now. So I didn't have really any examples. And only thing I could think of was maybe back in the day, maybe a Nell Carter, you know, and then I'm sure there were a couple of more, Thea, and then you kind of fast forward to our generation, and there was Kelly Price. But being in radio, I know the behind the scenes of that story where she was singing all those 90 rap hip hop record hits, those hooks that we love, but you never saw her face. She never got like a record deal with Bad Boy in it, but she's singing all of those hooks that you hear. And it wasn't until Ron Isley came along and said, I don't care what you look like, you can sing, we're putting you out there. Then you have maybe Faith, who was more of a curvier type singer. So I didn't have those examples. So it really made me kind of shy away from, okay, going and being a singer. So radio was a way to, I wouldn't say hide, but a way to stay close to the music, because I love music and I could talk about music from whatever genre or generation, because, you know, growing up with what our parents listened to, and then, you know, with us being maybe, you know, first generation hip hop, I mean, at 50, I know I am, that whole, to see that unfold and then moving into, you know, what we currently, you know, have now. So it was an area of expertise for me. And so that is what really kind of fueled the whole radio thing. But then when I got into radio, I was like, oh, I can do this. And, you know, and regardless of what you look like, radio was definitely a theater of the mind. And, you know, so you didn't really have to worry about what you looked like. And then all of a sudden, the 2000s came, the mid 2000s came, and here came digital. Yeah, and all of a sudden, you know, you had websites with your picture, and the webcam was a big to do, where, you know, the webcam was in the studio with you, and it would be, people could log on and watch you, you know, do your radio show. So then at that point, it was really time to pay attention to, okay, you know, let me take care of this for myself before anybody else takes care of it. And then you came into more of an image, you know, those, we didn't know that that's what it was, but image and branding. Yeah, and I just happened to come up in the hip hop world when it was velour suits and you have your hair up in a ponytail and a baseball cap, you know, really literally the round away girl type.
Yeah,
of woman.
Yeah. The real hip hop, exactly, the real hip hop.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly. And, you know, there were times where I was on the larger end as far as, you know, clothes size concerned, smaller end. But even through all of that, there was always enough there as far as talent to make room for me. So I couldn't be denied, regardless of what the industry was going through, regardless of having all male bosses all the time and their perception of what beauty was or whatever. And then also surviving, if you will, the Latin explosion. You know, I wasn't Mamacita, Copato, and Papi. I wasn't all of that. I wasn't that. And I want to say Lala was like one of the first ones to kind of, she was partnered with Ludacris years ago. They were in Atlanta. She was like one of the first ones to kind of, you know, hit the scene as far as, you know, Afro-Latino women on Black radio, if you will. But by that time, I had already knew I needed another feather in my hat. Just by the direction that radio was going in and all the syndication, it was eating up jobs. So I was already a manager. So by the time that explosion happened and that whole set of standards, this is pre Kim Kardashian look, I was already management. So I was managing them girls and helping to cultivate them and helping them and say, you know, I've never been a jealous or envious or I've always been about sisterhood. So it was about appreciating their differences. Okay. And so how can what they bring to the table help complement what we're already doing here in urban radio? Mm-hmm. How can we better understand that, okay, they might be from the Latin persuasion, but we all come from Africa.
That's right.
From Latina, you know? So the look thing became although it was growing in regards to your look and your image, it was minimizing for me as I transitioned or transformed my body or my look, and as the talent continued to make room for me and take me to higher heights. So I would say the physical look, and then just dealing with a heavy male managed industry.
Yeah.
Me Too situations, you know, listen.
Probably the norm. That's, and it may even still be the norm in some cases.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. I think Me Too and Time's Up definitely blew up the spot, but this has been, that type of way of going about doing things had been, you know, ongoing. And some women, you know, subscribe to it. And others, you know, fought their way through it and still was able to make some headway on that. So,
yeah. Oh my. So you just shed some light on, in an area that I don't think that is explored a lot, right? Like when you think about radio, when you think about media, we are looking at it from the perspective of maybe the talent and the struggles of the talent, but not recognizing that all of this operates in a system that affects everyone in some shape or form. Yeah. I have a friend that works for the country business in Nashville, and some of the things that they have informed me of has just blown my mind, right? Oh, yeah. And this is 2022 now.
That's right.
So the fact that you were able to stand your ground and say, I'm staying here. I may not agree with all of the things that are happening with this body shaming, this image that comes along, but I'm going to stand my ground because this is what I've been built to do. And so I'm just going to figure out how to navigate through these systems and to still be valuable in the midst of that. And we know it's not easy. So how, you know, if anybody can relate to this, right, and they're in an environment like that, what are some recommendations that you would have for people to stay anchored in the midst of so much conflict?
Yeah. Well, see, with me, I think I was a bit, you can use the word lucky if you want to, blessed, protected, because I came in before this whole idea of body shaming, before we gave it words, you know, there was body shaming, but we didn't have that we didn't frame it as such.
Yeah.
There was always bullying, but we didn't frame it as such. It wasn't such a movement. You know, I think social media has come along and we've named these things and now they're movements, and you got organizations and, you know, social groups and people you can follow and so on and so forth. So I came in, when those things absolutely existed, but there was no, they weren't formed yet in regards to, you know, how we socially understand them and how they fit into this, you know, dichotomy of socialization, if you will. And I don't think that would have happened unless there was these social media platforms that were born. So, but already kind of being in the thick of it, even in its infancy, you know, as it was forming, as it was gestating, I think it helped me stay ahead of it. And I never really got caught in it. So for me, it wasn't like, by the time Facebook came in, what, 06, 05, 06, 07, I was in Chicago well into my career, in mobile and management rather, well into my career. So this whole idea of, oh, okay, well, you know, I can follow somebody, they can follow me and they can see me, you know, it didn't have the sort of kind of effect that's having maybe on this younger generation, whether it be a younger millennial or a Gen Z, because they're born right into it. And I think the reason why they struggle sometimes, not all of them, but struggle, I work with a lot of them now, and they have panic attacks and stuff. And I'm like, what? I think it's because they're so highly stimulated. They have access to everything. They just don't, and they don't know how to process it. They don't know how to handle it. So it just, it like, it short circuits them. Because I, even in my younger life, you know, when things were a little bit more challenging, just by the fact that they were analog and it was more of a hands-on type thing. I mean, you didn't press a button and Google something and find out what something was or where something was. Yeah. You had to ask for directions, or you had to print up, you know, know a phone number by heart in order to get in contact with somebody. So it's not that we had it any easier, and you would think that it would be easier, but I think the fact that there's so much access makes it much more difficult for them to process through it. So, you know, already being grounded in the midst of this whole social media movement, it gives you a different lens. It gives you a different perspective. And what I just tell my mentees or people who might, you know, call on me, you know, for some advice or for some direction, you know, if you call on me, I'm gonna give you God, because that's just what I'm grounded in.
Yes.
And then, you know, moving further along into the practical day-to-day practice of it, you are gonna have to really find a way to create yourself, or create like this foolproof, you know, layer that people aren't going to be able to penetrate. And that's not to say that you're not human, because even I can get on IG and see this girl and be like, damn, I'm still human. I'm still a woman. I still know what either looks great, or what they say looks great, or I know what resonates with me as far as maybe body goals and things of that nature. But at the end of the day, I still have to appreciate where I am. I still have to appreciate these big old thighs and these old flabby arms, you know, to, for one, appreciate. And then you say, hey, you know, there's some changes I want to make. So it's like this ongoing back and forth with yourself.
Yeah.
And I think some of that dialogue is healthy if you use it to fuel you to make a change that you want to make or you see fit to make. But if you are fine just as is, or how you've been created, that has to sit well with you, or else you're really going to fall prey and victim, and you're going to stay susceptible to just all that's out there with social media. So like working on like this foolproof layer of protection, if you will. And I think all that is grounded and anchored in sense of self, which of course is anchored and grounded in a sense of spirituality and this whole idea of a higher power. I don't want to get preachy. I know what it is.
Yeah, no, this is great.
It's got to be something greater than yourself that you can ground yourself in. So when these elements do come at you, and they come at you, you can better filter it or repel it.
Yes.
Or take it in for if it's something that you need to absorb. So because there's just so much, that's probably my mantra or my basic spiel, if you will, when they do call and say, how do you navigate through all the negativity? How do you navigate through all of the back talk and the pettiness? And, you know, if one thing, I think social media has really leveled the playing field, because now you can see the folks that we sometimes hold in high regard. There are these moments that don't escape them anymore, and you see them in the real, especially when they flick on that live button and you don't see all the fanfare and red carpet, and you go, this is you know, this incredible artist and celebrity, but she kind of looked regular like me when she wakes up. I was just watching, we all just watched Janet Jackson. Jen look real regular on a couple of them shots, a couple of those scenes.
It's amazing what makeup and good clothes and you know, things that fit you well. And I I think it's so important what you're saying too, Courtney, about, because it's really feeds into the essence of the summit, right? When we're talking about a woman's liberation, you just described it. You have created through your wellness practices, one of them, the foundation being God, and the spiritual context that whatever that means for you in that context. And that is of the whole essence, right, of what it means to be liberated. You know, liberation, as you said, it's not about letting other people or systems decide who you're going to be. But if there are truths, if there are some truths in that for you, you have an opportunity to be liberated from those. Mm-hmm. And so I just love what you're saying, because sometimes even in the midst of shaming, or there still might be truths for on our journey for us to glean from, to help to transform ourselves. But it's really got to be on our own terms. And that armor that you talked about, that protective layer that I believe has helped you to like matriculate through your career and stay grounded in the midst of changes, no matter what degree those changes happen on your journey. Mm-hmm. And so that was really beautiful. And I would love for you to talk to us about your transition. You made a big transition from radio into being a news anchor. But maybe it's not that big, right? Maybe it seems big from my vantage point, but I feel like it's big. So talk to us about that journey, you know, how you were able to successfully navigate and what people can walk away with tangibly to apply to change in their own lives.
Yeah. So I don't know what is going on in the heavenlies, but this is the second time that we've touched base and I am yet in another transition. I don't know what is going on.
It just means you're striving for more. Striving for more and you can't escape that.
That's right. And I also believe that, you know, there's no kawinky dink that, you know, it is during a time when maybe I need to share that, you know, and allow for people to understand that, you know, there's always going to be something more that you may want. But you're going to have to allow yourself time to move, to gracefully, hopefully move through the process. So when you and I first got together in that studio in Detroit, I knew that I had to give up radio in a full-time capacity so I can make myself free and clear to pursue, you know, this anchor role, which I knew I could do. I just hadn't been given the opportunity. I've been doing for, you know, TV alongside radio for years on top of years. And so I knew that I could do it, but sometimes you have to give up the good to get the great, or sometimes there's a sacrifice involved, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of a wilderness involved. And there's some molding, and posturing and positioning that you need to surrender to. And I think that's what that was between Charlotte and being here in Augusta. And so it took a little longer than I thought. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to, you know, make these plans, but when you're connected again to that higher source, that higher power, and you believe in that will for your life, you get taken into some directions and some ways that are quite unforeseen. So what I thought was going to take, I'll let go of radio and then I'll be an anchor in about a year or so. And, you know, I planned all my finances, this and that. Man, girl, that thing took about 2 years. And it took 2 years because it needed to take 2 years because I needed to be taken real deep, you know, in order to better understand what this new role was going to require from me. And I think for God sometimes to just make sure that he can trust you with it, with all that comes along with that, because this was a whole nother platform and a whole nother new level of exposure. Love radio is the oldest form of communication, but TV, when people see you, there's just something different to that thing. So I did land this opportunity and my contract was for 3 years. So I got here in July 2019. I'm ready to hit the ground running. And here comes this pandemic, which just isolated, of course, everybody. And I was not able to take my radio background, if you will, and apply it to this community, because it's hit the ground running. You're hugging, you're kissing babies, you're out here, you're out at this function. We know all that was wiped off the table. But it was just interesting that I was on television instead of radio. And so I had to find a way to connect with people through the TV screen versus them seeing me and then being able to connect the dots and see me in person, because all they had was television. And still really till the end till now, it's really just been television. I know people are out and about, but we still don't connect in the ways that we did prior to this pandemic. So it was still pretty different. And then I got to the point where I was like, okay, this is good and this is fantastic. And I have picked up on this skill set, and I've kind of hit the ceiling here at this station. The passion is still there. Yeah. And I knew I needed more of a sophisticated newsroom with more resources and people to, whereas I don't always have to be the oldest or the most experienced in the building. I don't mind that role, but because this was so different for me, this wasn't just a next level. Next level would have been having a morning syndicated show on the level of maybe like a Tom Joyner or what Steve is doing, or what, that's next level. Mm-hmm. But when you transition into and give birth to something that's totally different from what you've been doing, that's a new dimension, right? Mm-hmm. So I was ready for the next level in this new dimension. And believe it or not, what outweighed career, and I've been career, was partnering with somebody. Mm-hmm. Because I felt like that would, when you talk about this whole idea of completeness, if you will, I felt like that is what was missing. Now, there's a difference between alone and lonely. So I was alone, but I wasn't lonely because I still had things to do.
Yeah.
But let me quiet myself down. Let me, you know, this career is doing what it set out to do. Mm-hmm. I've made this transition into this new dimension. It's doing it itself. All I got to do is show up and perform. But let me quiet my mind. Let me quiet any noise. Let me make myself clean and clear, so I am ready to receive this person that's going to help round out this experience. I'm about to be 50. This is right before I was about to turn 50. I'm about 50, and this is the next level in this new dimension.
Yeah.
And he came along, and what that has done is just shifted the perception, if you will, or just shifted, if you will. Not that I'm still not hungry, not that I still don't want to reach certain heights in this career, but it's like, I'm gonna get there. Let me focus in on this. So herein lies the transition. Last Friday, I think it was the 28th or the 31st, last Monday, I decided, and I had been talking to them since mid-December, but I did decide to resign 6 months early. Mm-hmm. And what I feel that this will do is just give me a bit of a rest. Yeah. A nesting. I have been hustling in this industry for almost 30 years, and I needed to rest. And before I met my fiance, mm-hmm. now fiance, mm-hmm. I was already trying to figure out how I could do that and still eat and still take care of, you know, me. And so whether I stuck it out that last 6 months and went to July 15th, or I said, hey, I can only go to June and I'll take, you know, July and August off and get back to an opportunity in September, I knew I needed a rest. Mm-hmm. The fiance came and gave me an option and allowed for me to move into that much earlier than first thought.
Girl, there's so much.
I was like, I'm gonna take advantage of this thing. God is good. This is what I've been praying for.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
He has hit on every level. This is it. And my fear, D, was that I was I didn't want to seem ungrateful for the opportunity because I had worked so hard. This anchoring thing to get to that anchor chair, mm-hmm. I had worked so hard. It was so, and spiritually, it was like warfare. It was tough. Yeah. And then to say, okay, I want to not let it go, just put a pause on it for a minute. I was scared that was going to knock me out the game or something like that. But then when I just recentered myself and just paid attention to how all the prayer, he was like, God was hitting on every point with prayers, even with this dude, every point. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is
yeah.
Let me sit down and rest for a minute.
Wow. So
I know that's a lot.
This is all about liberation. It is. You gave us so much. So I want to make sure that the audience doesn't miss these nuggets that you gave. The first thing that you talked about, right? You said it took you 2 years to even get to the point where you were ready. Cause Source knows, God knows when we're ready. And so you put in the work. You stayed tenacious. You took some risks. You had to walk away from a career that you had belabored in for years. And now it's like, oh, well, the door is open for me, but I'm wanting something else. Well, of course.
And let me stop you real quick. And during that wilderness period, that giving upness of it all, radio kept calling.
Houston. Oh, I'm sure.
Houston called, Dallas called, Miami called, and Atlanta was about to send me a contract. Wow. So I was being tested because the record thing
was working out. So good, right? Because I do think that before a major transition starts to happen, the God does begin to test us to say, are you really ready? Do you really want this? Are you really trying to go? Because I can take you there. I can take you there. And then even when you talked about your fiance, see, we don't ever know how God is going to bring things into our life to give us our deepest desires. And the main vehicle by which it comes is through people, right? And so the fact that you said, gosh, I want to rest. I love that. I love that you said, gosh, you know, I've spent 30 years of my life toiling and there's gotta be a better way. And there's something about surrendering again in that and surrendering to go even to a deeper level, because I think that sometimes we work so much harder than what we have to. Mm-hmm. If only like the things that you're talking about, staying grounded and centered in this seeking, this constant pursuit, right? That's the work involved in manifestation.
Yes. Yes.
And if we believe, like you nailed it, right? That everything is unfolding for our good on the journey. And there's something to teach us and to propel us closer and closer, then we can know all of it. And we can be rest assured that we don't need to pick up that job that probably pays really, really well because it's not in alignment. And God is saying, I got something bigger for you. You just gotta wait. Right. Just wait for me.
Right. And pay attention to how you are being asked to surrender and or sacrifice, because it's at the top of my game in radio. You know?
Yes.
And in order to sit in that anchor seat, we're talking about less than half of what I used to make. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, God, I know you got me. I know this is it. I know this is, you know, temporary. I just need to get in here and do this thing every day and learn all the nuances. And then I know you're going to put me back to where I was.
Yeah.
So to be faced, if you will, or for another surrendering to show up, making me give up even more, I'm like, what? But girl, I totally trust it. And when I'm ready to get back to work, which will be probably early fall, late summer, the next opportunity, the next level, professionally speaking, in this new direction that speaks exactly to what I choose to do, I like to do, I would desire to do. That's not being arrogant. That's not being egotistical. Just what speaks to me, it'll be right there for me.
That's universal. I mean, even if people don't believe in God, it's universal law. What you're talking about is universal law. Everything we put out, every emotion that we have, it's an energy source. If we are, and this actually leads me to my last question, which is about joy and how you radiate joy, like in everything. And joy is like at the highest vibrational emotion that we can experience. Joy, love, peace, gratitude, empowerment. And, you know, the interview really embodied all of those words in some shape or form, but joy more than anything. And I've been watching your work for the past 4 years since being in the studio with you in some shape or form. And you always radiate authenticity. You radiate love. You radiate light. You radiate joy. And it's visceral, right? Because you can feel it. You can feel it. And so, you know, I'm curious about how people can stay anchored in joy, particularly in the midst of life's challenges. And you talked about many of them today during this interview. And there's, I'm sure, so many others that we didn't explore.
Mm-hmm. You know, I could say, oh, pray and God. And look, that's my thing. And it's a lot of people's thing. But what I think we miss out on is the practical day-to-day challenges of staying on the up and up. Some days you just, I think that's the first to acknowledge that some days you ain't gonna be on the up and up. And to know the difference between joy and happiness. Joy is something that's very innate. it's spiritual. It you kind of come with it. It's there. Mm-hmm. Happiness is conditional based upon your circumstances at the time, you know. Mm-hmm. I love lobster. So if I walked into my kitchen and there was some lobster sitting there, I would love, you know, I'm happy.
Yeah.
You know, I don't eat red meat. So if the only thing in the kitchen was red meat, I probably wouldn't be so happy. So it's conditional. Mm-hmm. And so I think you have to really start at that understanding that despite the very lows of the lows that you'll come into, whether it's the loss, you know, of a friend or a family, especially during this pandemic. And not only have we lost folks to COVID, but we've lost folks, I hate to say this, but the regular way we lose folks, whether it be, you know, other illnesses, tragic accidents or have you, what have you. You know, there's been a lot of job loss. There have been people taking their lives. Was it last week when we were reading about 3 or 4 young Black lives, or just lives, period, them choosing to leave this, or to finish here in this existence. So I think for me, it's a constant knowing that however I feel does not negate the joy that I can tap into.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of kind of supersedes this, you know, God won't put anything on you, then you can, well, shit, that's not how I feel sometimes. And I wish these pastors and these ministers were really kind of, first of all, their lives might be a mess, but really, really help move and guide people into, you know, more of a practical way of believing and coping.
Yeah.
You know, people need hope, but what really is hope? And for me, it's just been knowing that things could get better if I allow for them to get better, if I position myself for them to get better. Know that healing is real. This whole idea of time heals. Well, no, it's what you do with the time.
Yeah.
You know, time doesn't heal. It's what you do, you know, with the time. So I know those things might still sound a little abstract because we want 1, 2, 3, 4. We want A, B, C, D. Okay, my problem is solved.
Yeah.
That's not how it works. If you talk about the whole idea of a process, if you talk about the whole idea of the journey being more important than the destination, or even maybe even your starting point. So that's what does this for me. I can be, you know, again, with this pandemic, I've lost family members who I feel like should still be here despite this thing.
Yes.
And when you get down to the depths of that kind of loss and sorrow, I've just been able to tap into the fact that, okay, this higher power that I believe in, God and all his constituents, you know, from Jesus to your archangels, your guardian angels, your loved ones who have passed on, your ancestors who are there for you, your spirit guides, your all of that.
Yeah.
All of the whole spiritual alliance, when I tap into that and just know that that is a constant for me, it helps lift me a little bit. And be gentle with yourself. If it's sad, be sad. That's okay. Just choose not to stay in it, and maybe go from sad to I'm okay.
Yeah.
It's fine. And maybe okay to I'm cool or I'm good, and then maybe I'm cool, I'm good to I'm doing great today,
girl.
You know, and then you may get to great and go back down to sad.
Yeah.
I mean, but be gentle with yourself because it is a process. It's a process.
Girl, you just took
my answer to that.
No. That was beautiful. And it's a great way for us to end this because you're driving home the point that joy is really an inside job. And although we can externalize joy, it's temporary. The real joy, right, comes from within. And if we are only relying on experiences, the material, what presents itself to be our guide, we will always falter when it comes to living a joyful life. And then what you just walked us through is how people can get back up there to that higher vibrational state. And you said it. I'm not suggesting that people don't honor their emotions, but shit, don't sit in it too long. Don't sit in it longer than you have to. Know that joy is your birthright and you can access it. And the last thing I want to say that I think is so powerful, Courtney, is that when you talk about the church and some of the ways in which they haven't done all the things that they could do to empower their congregations, what you're talking about for me and what I'm gleaning from this is that if people knew the power that they had to co-create with God their lives, and to know that even if I look around my world, this is the inventory by which I have created. And if I want to change it, I can change it today. And all this work that we do around, you know, I'm a therapist, Courtney. So I believe in therapy.
I know.
I believe in energy work, all of that. And what I know to be true is that we can have these miraculous shifts without all the years of going back in our past and trying to figure it out. We can decide today, I am done. I am done with that way of being. And it doesn't mean that there isn't going to be that battle, right? To climb, to stay in that higher vibrational state. Right. And that's to do right. the work of manifestation. But, you know, I say often it's work either way. You can either do work that's going to make you feel good and get you closer to where you're going, or you can do work and stay in it. It's either your way. Choice.
Either way. Either
it's
way.
Your that's your choice. Excellent. Yeah. Excellent. Oh, that was so good. Okay.
So good.
You know, I could like spend the day with you, but I can't because all you day. Got stuff to do and I got stuff to do. Yeah. So I just, as we get ready to wrap up, I would love for you to just share with the audience any final thoughts of inspiration that you have on being liberated, staying liberated.
Well, in regards to the moment that we're in right now, this thing is still a thing. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to challenge yourself to find the positive in the pandemic. And I do believe that we may have to surrender to the idea or the notion that we're never going to go back to mm-hmm. normal. We're never going to go back to the way things were.
Yeah.
No matter how much we want to. And then maybe we shouldn't.
Yeah.
I think that the pandemic has pulled up the layers, the roots, mm-hmm. and it might even get a little uglier before things sort of kind of, I don't want to use the word mellow out, or before things begin to maybe level out, especially when you talk about race relations and all of the different fights and movements that are happening right now. But challenge yourself to find the positive in the pandemic. Mm. And how can this uprooting, how can you allow that energy to transform and shift anything that you know may need to be shaken loose in your life, and stay safe. I know things have become very politicized and very personal as to what you choose to do, mask up, vaccinate, boost, whatever the case may be. Here's the thing. You are here for a reason. Mm-hmm. We love you and we need you. And we'd like for you to stick around. Mm-hmm. And so you do what you feel is best to stay safe and to keep the ones you cherish the most stay safe. I'm not going to get into no back and forth. I'm not going to, you know, go back and forth that, you know, with the blue and the red and what political aisle and belief system you believe in. We need you. You know, we'd like to have you here along with us as we enter in this new way of being and existing. And we kind of sort of need, you know, all kinds of different styles and opinions and looks and thinking in order to make that move may continue to happen. So do what you feel you need to do to stay safe, you and yours. And then secondly, I would say, again, maybe going back to this pandemic and this whole idea of liberation and how you balance that with just how we get down nowadays, especially with social media. I would go back to the whole, the old adage of, you know, do you. Or be myself and I, what did we used to say back in the day? I can't remember some of the catchphrases we used to say, but unselfishly be about self.
Yeah.
Be about self so that you can kind of like bless others, mm-hmm. you know, be about yourself. So you're showing up as the best version of yourself to salt this earth. Or to help raise a new generation or bring up a new generation of whatever it is that maybe for me, it's young ladies and young men in the broadcast industry. Mm-hmm. So I would kind of leave you with that. You know, it begins and ends with you. And there are good aspects to being selfish if your selfishness works to therefore be the best so you can give it away.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? In regards to your getting, being in your giving.
Yeah.
You know, just give it away, but make sure that what you give away, you know, is beneficial, because that doesn't do anything, but you know, the universe, God, however you want to put it, you know, it can't help but reward you back for mm-hmm. you being a part of, you know, this movement of just blessing, you know, blessing this earth.
Yeah, when we give light, we get light right back, and we can never outgive the source it comes to the light that we give.
That's it.
You know, I love what you said about like finding the joy, right, in the pandemic. And it's reminding me of a conversation I had with a friend of mine mm-hmm. who was going through a breakup. And she said, oh, you know, I'm going to be alone on Valentine's Day, and it's going to be so bad. And I said, why? I said, why does it have to be bad? Envision, what would you like Valentine's to be? If you were with your partner, the things that you can control.
That's right.
What kinds of things would you want?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what you're offering for us is to say, find the gifts in all of it. Make it work for you. And I love what you said about like be selfish for the sake of like giving to the world. And, you know, I believe it was Alice Walker who said that that liberation, self-care is still a liberatory act.
Absolutely.
Right.
And absolutely.
So even though those were words that she espoused, you know, a long time ago, along with many other thought leaders and leading up to now, it still feels indulgent, right, for us to take care of ourselves. And the reality is that we know if we don't care for ourselves,
that's right,
we'll literally end up in a state of burnout.
Yeah.
We're less resilient. So this is not like hokey stuff that we're talking. We're talking
about
like increase your vibration so you can
feel
better. And which that's really right. has the impotence to help you heal
yeah.
mentally.
And if you've been able to find just one positive thing in this pandemic, to find the positive in the pandemic, one positive thing, you have already won. Because we're talking about a pandemic.
Come on,
we're
now.
Talking about something that has brought the world to its knees.
Yes.
And so you have been able to find something positive within all of this sickness and loss and despair. And if you've been able to find and hold on to something positive, you already won. Mm-hmm. You already won. And just expand, just layer that on top of, you know, finding something else bigger than, and then before you know it, you are your own movement.
I love that, right? Because you're talking
raising
about
like, your own vibration. Absolutely.
That was so good. And like, and you're really inviting people to start where they are and to build on it, right? And this idea that the more you build, the mm-hmm. more you're becoming.
Little by little.
The more you're coming. Oh, I love that. Okay, Court. So you know we gotta end this thing. Girl, you know I can keep talking to you. Like, but I know that you are on, like, I'm on your time, right?
And girl, so, please.
I want to make sure that folks can stay in touch with you because I know that they're gonna want to do that. So let us know how we can stay connected to you, sis.
Yeah, I would love to stay connected. And I'm not one of them folks, you know, it might take me a minute to get to them, but I do answer DMs that make sense,
mm-hmm.
And emails and things like that. I don't, you know, the foolishness, nah. but yeah. if you know, if there's something that, sure. So you can go to my website. We call it the EPK, Electronic Press Kit, but it's CourtneyAHicks.com. That's no U, so it's CourtneyAHicks, CourtneyAHicks.com. I'm on Instagram, Courtney Hicks on air. Make sure you don't put a U into Courtney. Courtney Hicks on Facebook, Courtney on air on Twitter. My emails are listed. I do answer. It might take me a minute, but I do answer. And so I'm taking a little downtime, but as you can see, I'm still pretty busy. I'm talking
to one of you. Yeah, but I love it.
Yeah, with
like giving yourself that gift because. It reminds me of earlier last year, I said to my coach, I said, I never want to work as hard as I have worked. I'm tired. And life is more. Life is more.
That's
and
right.
I want my life to be more than.
Yeah. And I feel like once I surrendered that or gave myself permission, I'm still busy, but in a different kind of way. When you talk about the whole idea of, you know, bearing fruit, bringing in that harvest and planting more seeds or being a blessing. you are the second Zoom women's conference talk that I've had. And there's one more in March that I'm going to, that we'll hopefully be able to physically go to. I'm still busy. And I've been invited to take part in the U.S. Congress, Library of Congress's task force for broadcasting. And they're focusing in on Black women, and they selected me as one of their subjects. So there's this drawn out process where they have to like interview you, and they want to know all about your life, and they want all the, you have to document all the and record all the awards, and that it is a lot. And I would have never been able to focus in on this thing that is really going to help shape my legacy, because they house it in the Library of Congress, and then it tours around the country, and then it's going to live in one of the U.S. Congress libraries in Atlanta.
Wow.
And if I didn't, you know, everything in divine order. I worked from 2 p.m. until midnight, mm-hmm. Monday through Friday. I would not have had the time really to really sit down and talk with you, mm-hmm. to sit down and talk with the other young ladies who are on the same, you know, kind of mission that you are in as far as enlightenment and liberation. And so it's all happening when it's supposed to happen and as it's supposed to happen. And then planning a wedding at the same time.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It just makes me like to hear that I'm just claiming it, that you're going to be honored the way that you will be honored based on all this, the years of work. And, you know, I know for certain as a woman, you have always loved on me. And so I can only imagine, and we don't even have that depth, right? We do, because it's like, you're my sister.
That's right.
I can only imagine what you have given away over the years to invest in us. And so you're reaping the payoff. You're reaping the payoff, and you're making room, right, for this expansive, really, I'm believing that this next chapter is going to be your biggest chapter yet. And you've done extraordinary things. You've done extraordinary things, but this next phase, it's not going to all this. There's some big,
and I know we're wrapping up, but I just posted something the other day. I said, sometimes life requires you not to close a chapter, but write a whole new book.
That is so good.
A whole new book.
A whole new book. Sister, I love you.
Love you, sister.
This was amazing.
And you know, you can call on me anytime, honey.
Thank you. And you know, of course, like, I'm not sure what that would look like, but if you, in any way, if I can support you and in any way.
I have my little list of when it's time for the Courtney conference.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Whatever that means.
I love it. I am bringing it down to the atmosphere.
I got my whole little crew I'm going to call on.
Oh, good. I can't wait. All right. Well, so you guys heard it here at the Women's Liberation Summit, where we help women to focus on their liberation so that they can live joy-filled, purpose-filled lives on their own terms.
Yes.
Make sure that you follow this queen in all the ways. She has some inspiring content out there, and you're going to want to know what her next chapter entails. She's already given us a buzz. And so I know that this interview blessed you the way that it blessed me. And again, Courtney, like, I just appreciate you so, so much. So until next time, beauties, Ashe.
Love you, Lady D.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.